she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see, if ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we.
Welcome back to Eco Talk, and we're taking our heads out of the sand, one program at a time, and we have a particularly newsworthy show, lots of events happening, and since news happens daily, even hourly, of course, we need to tell you that we are recording this program on Wednesday, the 9th of March. We have to do it a few days ahead of time in order to get it to Air America Radio in time to turn around for the weekend. So the big news in the last couple of hours, in addition to the price of a barrel of oil getting up there to record levels and then dipping down a bit, we're going to talk about that later in the program, the Senate committee has just dealt President Bush quite a big setback, rejecting his top environmental priority. That's the bill that would give power plants, factories, and refineries more time to reduce their air pollution. Opponents wanted a plan that also helped reduce global warming. The 9-9 vote on Bush's Clear Skies plan, a name that Senator Barbara Boxer describes as akin to calling Frankenstein Tom Cruise, was expected and, in fact, fell largely along party lines. It followed weeks of negotiation among deadlocked members of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. To analyze this vote and what it means and when it will come back again, we're going to check in with Emily Figdor. She's a clean air advocate for U.S. PERG, that's Public Interest Research Group, I believe, to discuss not only this development but also the recent appointee to the EPA. President Bush naming Steve Johnson, EPA employee for the last 24 years, and in fact the acting EPA administrator. We'll find out more about what people are saying about that appointment. Thanks for joining us, Emily.
Thanks so much for having me.
So surprised by what happened?
Not surprised, but very encouraged. Today was really a big victory for public health and for the health of our children. It was a big defeat for the Bush administration. They've made their so-called Clear Skies bill a top priority, and the fact that 3 years later, they've been pushing this bill for 3 years, this is the first ever vote on the bill, and it was certainly a decisive blow for the administration, and in turn, a big victory for public health.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of euphemism, Clean Air Act, so when you hear, you know, there was a vote against the Clean Air Act, if you didn't know more, you might think, well, gee, that's bad for clean air.
Yeah, that is certainly not the case. In fact, this bill would have set us back decades in our efforts to reduce air pollution, and air pollution currently, particularly air pollution from power plants, is taking a tremendous toll on public health, you know, from red alert smog days to mercury in our fish. The effects of this pollution are all around us.
I want to just give a couple of quotes. Siding with seven Democrats against the bill were Senators Lincoln Chafee and James Jeffers, who complained it would weaken the 1970 Clean Air Act last amended in 1990. They also wanted limits put on carbon dioxide. Of course, the greenhouse gas scientists blamed for global warming, which Bush opposes regulating. Chafee said it's a shame that the U.S. Congress is the last bastion of denial on climate change. So maybe things are starting to reverse in the right direction. What do you attribute this success? Are environmental groups really getting the message out, doing a better job of not only lobbying or legislators, but also to the American public?
Yeah, I think this is an issue that really hits home. People understand that air pollution contributes to really serious health effects, from asthma attacks to heart and lung disease and even premature death. And it is an unpopular thing to be on the floor of the Senate and vote against the Clean Air Act. And today's vote was a vote for rolling back the Clean Air Act, and so senators stood in opposition to that.
So when might this issue come back again?
I think, unfortunately, we'll have to continue to fight this bill. It could come up essentially at any time over the course of the next 3 years or so. So we've jumped over the first hurdle, but we have some additional hurdles ahead of us.
And some other encouraging news. Again, we're taping the show on Wednesday, the 9th of March. You're listening to it most likely on Sunday. We're speaking with Emily Figdor with U.S. PERG, and that was the appointment by President Bush of Steve Johnson, who many environmentalists are saying is a good appointment, if nothing else, because he's a scientist, and he's been at the EPA for almost a quarter of a century.
Yeah, we certainly are hopeful that that Steven Johnson will make decisions based on science and public health, and not based on the bottom lines and wishes of the special interests. It would be a big turn for the administration, but we are hopeful, given his background, that he will, again, be making his decisions based on science.
And just a couple of quotes here again for you on this appointment, a spectacularly good appointment. That's according to Ken Cook of the Environmental Working Group. They're a very progressive, proactive group. He says, we welcome the nomination, and Deb Callahan also echoed that. And Carl Pope of the Sierra Club said this is the best we could expect. And one person who also would have an insider's view was Carol Browner. Of course, she headed the EPA during the Clinton administration. She said, quote, I promoted him, Steve Johnson that is, several times into very important positions in the Pesticides and Toxics Office. She said, I don't know if Johnson is a Democrat or a Republican, but he's a very green guy, a truly committed environmentalist from my experience. He didn't shy away from enforcing tough standards, safeguarding public health, and taking action against chemical companies when needed. So far, so good.
Yes, we definitely are encouraged. A key test will be next week. On Tuesday, EPA is expected to finalize a rule to regulate mercury from power plants. This has been an incredibly contentious rule. The proposal would allow power plants to delay cuts in mercury pollution for more than a decade.
Great. I'm afraid we're out of time, so we will keep an eye on that. Thanks for joining us. We've been speaking with Emily Figder, cleaner advocate for U.S. PERG. And, of course, Steve Johnson was given that appointment after Mike Leavitt was tapped to head up the Department of Health and Human Services. Leavitt had briefly been at the helm of the EPA. You're listening to EcoTalk on Air America Radio. More provocative conversation to follow. Stay with us.